broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. I'm going to save our recap for next hour, because we're just so busy, so many guests, so much going on. You got to love it. All right. Well, actually, I'll do that later this hour. How's that? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have our incredible guest who joins us monthly, Patrick Simmons. He's with the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Find out, ladies and gentlemen, if you live in a right to work state, would you please? There's 27 states that protect right to work freedom right now. 27 states that protect right to work freedom. Righttowork.org is where you can learn more. Patrick Simmons with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning, Sam.
All right. There's so much to cover, so little time. Is forced unionism about to become the law of the land? Will big labor kill all 27 states' right to work laws? Yeah, they're talking about big labor's crown jewel legislation. It's called the PRO Act, or so-called the PRO Act, if you will. It's H.R. 824, as far as I understand it, passed the House. It has not passed the Senate. It's really the Pro-Union Boss Act is the way you can look at it. It's a fast-tracked, big, grab bag of big labor's worst ideas in the last 50 years, folks. It is seriously a doozy. Patrick, let's start there. Is this thing already passed the House?
Yeah. It's already through the House. Now it sits with the Senate. Chuck Schumer has said it's a priority for him. I think he told union officials at the AFL-CIO last week, get me to 50 co-sponsors and I'll get you a vote. I think they have 46 right now in the Senate. It is a smorgasbord, I think, is one of the ways we describe it, of like you said, just basically every bad legislative idea that union bosses have had for at least the last past century are in this bill. So we're talking about wiping out all 27 right to work laws by federal fiat. That's, you know, the big headliner item, but there's a whole host of other terrible items below that. You've got card check. That's where instead of workers having a secret ballot election to decide whether their workplace is going to be under a union monopoly, the union organizers get to go, and maybe two or three of them show up at your door and say, hey, we've got a bunch of other people signing this. You really should sign this. You know, when we get into the workplace, we're going to be the ones controlling everything. And they pressure people to sign a card. And then as soon as they sign it, that's counted as a vote. And they get 50% plus one of the workers to sign those cards. And suddenly the entire workplace, even those who maybe never even knew there was an organizing campaign going on, they're all covered under the union boss monopoly. It would grant what they call first contract binding arbitration. But what this really means is that after a couple months, let's say the union is demanding all sorts of things, and the employer says, you know, look, I'm going to go out of business if we implement what you're asking for. They get to go and get a government-appointed arbitrator who imposes the contract. And that contract can be over the objections of not only the business, but over the objections of a majority of workers. And yet it doesn't matter. That's the contract. So you've got government arbitrators creating forced dues contracts and imposing them on workplaces. And there's a bunch of other terrible things we can go through. I mean, it basically wipes out freelance and independent contractor jobs so that all those people in that growing sector of the economy can be forced to pay union dues. And there's a bunch of more technical changes, but it's a very bad bill. It really is. Every single aspect of it is designed for one thing and one thing only, and that's to force more people to pay more dues to union officials and for them to be fired if they don't pay. And if you look at all the different aspects of the legislation of the so-called PRO Act, the pro-union boss bill or push-button unionism is another way that we describe it, more accurate than obviously the PRO Act. And it's all there, and it's all about getting people to pay more forced dues so that union bosses have more money they could spend on campaigns and elect more people who will grant them more powers. And that's the vicious cycle that we need to break or at least slow down, and that means blocking this legislative proposal.
Ladies and gentlemen, this big labor's crown jewel has already passed the House. It's threatening big time in the Senate. It's called the PRO Act, ladies and gentlemen, or Big Labor Boss Act, if you will. If the PRO Act passes, folks, all right-to-work laws will be gone in the blink of an eye, okay? Workers will be banned from hearing anything but pro-union propaganda is the problem here. Now, we've been slowly but surely making incredible incremental changes for right-to-work in the last many years with Donald Trump involved and in charge, etc. A lot of Republicans making a good difference. This is not really a Republican-Democrat debate, you'd like to think, because I don't like to divide between Republican and Democrat. However, you've seen this administration change, and then you've seen the reality. We were doing pretty good and thought we had a good handle on this. We handed the National Labor Relations Board their hat and said bye just a few short months ago in the Supreme Court, maybe a year or so plus ago, year and a half, maybe time flies. But anyway, not too long ago. And now in the blink of an eye, things have turned, and now they're threatening to gut everything we've accomplished, Patrick.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we've seen five new states become pass right-to-work laws since 2012. So we've had a decade of really expanding worker freedom. Like you talked about, some really good things from the Trump NLRB over the last 4 years. And there's actually still a majority on the board through August, and we're hopeful that they can even get a little more done between now and then. But you've got a White House that is just throwing its lot fully in with forced dues and forced unionism and appeasing union bosses, and that's to the detriment of workers. And that's one of the things that we key in on, because that's really, it exposes them so clearly. You know, you look at polling, rank and file workers like having union dues be voluntary. They like that they get a choice. They deserve that choice, you know. And if you want to claim to be pro-worker, how can you be in favor of stripping a worker of their right to decide whether or not to support a private organization and saying, no, union bosses know what's best for you, pay up or be fired. And we know from polling, I mean, the last Gallup poll that asked the right to work about people's support for right to work found not only, you know, 80%, 75, 80% of all Americans supported right to work, but there was a majority of Democrats that voters that supported right to work. Huge numbers of Republicans and independents are in favor of voluntary dues, not forced dues. So I think even if you look at, you know, we talk about the parties, but there's just like there's a divide between rank and file and those at the top. I think that's very much the case of Democrats as well. There's a lot of Democrats who think, you know, look, I, you know, of course, right to work. It makes sense. Common sense. Let people choose. You know, you decide whether you want to contribute to a church or whether you want to join Sam's Club or whether, you know, you want to join the Rotary Club or any other private organization. And unions should just be the same as that. And that means workers should join if they want, but not be forced to. And, you know, we always remind people, a right-to-work law cannot stop a single worker from joining a union. A right-to-work law cannot stop a single worker from paying dues to a union. They can pay as much money to a union if they want. They could theoretically give every dollar they make to a union official in a right-to-work state. Nothing stops anyone from doing that if it's their choice. It's about the people who don't choose, who don't voluntarily associate with a union. And those are the workers whose rights are protected by right-to-work laws that are under threat from this so-called PRO Act.
Well, and let's be very clear, Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, about our goal, our agenda, our efforts. We're not trying to stop unions from existing. We're not trying to stop people from voluntarily and freely associating, voluntarily joining unions, freely associating with one another. We're not against people trying to advocate for a better situation with the boss. A counterbalance to big labor or big business, is workers organizing. There's nothing wrong with your freedom to associate and freedom to choose. Okay, let's be very clear about that. What we're talking about is pulling the lever of government in favor of the union bosses, not even the rank and file, but the union bosses, giving them special privilege in every sector of our society, special forced money manipulation to then lord over you by force. Okay, so let's be very clear about what we're talking about. We're not against unions. We're not against free association. We are against the forced mechanisms, the dishonest mechanisms at the top that protect union bosses who oftentimes don't even represent the rank and file. That's the problem we have. We want transparency. We want accountability. We want agency or choice for the worker. And we want free association, not force. Quick pause. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org in seconds.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom, and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left, and I was so mad I got out, and he said, "Wait, your mom said to give you this." I forgot my lunch money, and then I dropped it in the water, and I was late for history, and so at lunchtime, I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which, of course, our library didn't have, so I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom, and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me, and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout, and then he read my history paper while I was in the pool, and of course, I forgot the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home, and it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning, and I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew, but my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team, and, you know, I'm just not gonna go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Patrick Simmons with me, righttowork.org. Ladies and gentlemen, big labor's crown jewel legislation is the PRO Act. H.R. 824 already passed the House. It's threatening in the Senate, ladies and gentlemen. It's more appropriately called the PRO Union Boss Act. It's on the fast track. It's a grab bag of big labor's wishes. Worst ideas over the past 50 years. Ladies and gentlemen, if this thing passes, your right to work will be gone. Yeah. All right to work laws will be gone. Yep, card check will be back. Propaganda is all you're going to hear. This is serious. Okay, they will use federal law to force federal unionism. They will impose government mandates via the forced union crowd. So let's be very clear, Patrick Simmons. We're not even against unions. We're not even against free association. We're not even against, okay, and none of our efforts will strike at that. What we're striking at is the forced nature, the secretive manipulation, the government backing or giving special privilege to. It's this lack of transparency. It's this the leaders at the top get rich and then don't represent the people. It's that discussion, the forced nature that we're rejecting. I don't know how to say it more forcefully, completely rejecting, right?
Yeah, it's the coercive aspect of government imposing unions on people. And that's the problem. It starts at the twin powers of government-granted coercion that union bosses have been given is the power to force their representation on workers who don't want it, and then double down in non-rights work states, force those people to pay them money as a condition of working under the representation that they didn't want to begin with. And we're about voluntary unions. Let people join unions if they want. Let them associate freely, absolutely, but it shouldn't be coerced. It shouldn't be government granted coercion that's causing all this. And you talked about it's so obvious, that when dues are voluntary, you know, a union official goes, if I do this or I do that, or I stake out a position that's really out of touch, you know, a bunch of workers may cut off their dues because that's what people do. They say, you know, this business, it used to do a really good job, but the service has been really lousy lately. And I feel like I don't get value for what I spend my money on. I'm not going to shop there anymore. That's how, you know, freedom of association is supposed to work. And yet here it's instead of the union officials working for the rank and file, it flips its on its head and where there's forced union dues. And the rank and file are working so that union officials can get their money. And that's the problem. And it leads to a disconnect, and it leads to a disconnect on political type of things. I mean, one of the first actions taken by the Biden administration was to cancel all these pipelines. That destroyed, I think they estimate 10,000, maybe more union jobs. And yet those very unions had all endorsed Biden. And yet they literally supported a guy whose day one action wiped out tens of thousands of jobs. And that's, you know, that's just one example of the disconnect where union officials far too often, and particularly because they can coerce people under their representation, they can force them to pay dues or be fired. They don't really have to think about the impact on the rank and file of their actions. They're more worried about their own powers. And they probably said, well, sure, Biden may do an executive order to get rid of the Keystone pipeline and all the union jobs that my members want, but he might help pass the PRO Act. And then I won't have to answer to anyone. And those right to work states won't even exist anymore. And all these workers will be forced to pay me money or be fired. And so they took the self-interest, even though it meant selling out what's best for the rank and file. And forced unionism encourages that. Voluntary unionism is a check on that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's also about when I say that the government gives unions special privilege and power. Look, the unions even have, by government permission, the ability to be violent and get a pass. And when we see the riots over the last whatever, and the abuse of power and the mistrust from the people and everything else, the last thing we need to do is have government sanction violence via unions against the people who simply want to work and be free to associate and negotiate for their own wages, et cetera, et cetera. This is becoming center stage discussion almost because of that, Patrick.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned that there's a loophole in federal law from the Anti-Extortion Act where union militants in pursuit of, quote, legitimate union objectives can actually do something that if anyone else did, it would violate federal racketeering and violence bills, the Hobbs Act, federal extortion law, and yet they get away with it and they get a special exemption. And we've seen that used before. I mean, they'll say, well, okay, well, you know, that threat we made or that violence that we conducted is because we were trying to get to organize this particular workplace. And so we've seen union lawyers, sometimes successfully, sometimes fortunately not, go into federal court and get union bosses or other union militants off on the basis of this this decision. And there's the Freedom from Union Violence Act is a bill that's been introduced in every recent Congress. I don't think it's been introduced yet this year, but I know it usually gets introduced around Labor Day. And so I would expect that to happen again. But it's just one example of these special government-granted powers and exemptions that treat unions and union officials different from any other private association. And that's the problem we're talking about. And one other thing, Sam, that, you know, it's, I guess it's maybe it's unsurprising, but, you know, last week, Biden rolled out what's being euphemistically called an infrastructure plan, but it's really kind of just a wish list of all these things that, that he wants, and, you know, payoffs to various special interest groups. And the union officials, unsurprisingly, have a whole host of items in there, but he even included the PRO Act, the PRO Union Boss Act, the push button unionism bill in his so-called infrastructure agenda and plan, and is attempting to include that and force that through Congress on the basis that somehow forcing millions and millions of workers to pay union dues is going to help our roads and bridges and that sort of thing. And of course, that's absurd. The only thing that he's interested in building seems to be force dues power for his allies in big labor.
The idea that we even have a Freedom from Union Violence Act pretty much tells the story that, hey, this is a serious point to be made, not just Sam Bushman's kind of crazy concerns. You need to support the Freedom from Unions Violence Act, ladies and gentlemen. We need freedom from violence from everybody, anybody, all the time. That is the proper role of government. Last question before we let you fly, Patrick Simmons. What if I have a religious objection to being affiliated with a union, huh?
Yeah, that's an option. I mean, of course, if you're protected by a right to work law, now, unfortunately, you can't, religious objection to union representation is not something that there's any protection against. I mean, so if you just object to the fact that you're being forced under union representation you don't want, there's not much that can be done for you under the current law. However, you can be protected for having to fund a union. And that's important, of course, in the 23 states that don't have right to work laws. And it's one of the things we've seen a lot of people come to us, but under the EEOC, Equal Opportunity Commission, there's a special place where an employer and the union have to accommodate your religious objections to funding a union. We see a lot of people of faith who look at the union agenda, they think about their religious beliefs, and they say, these are just not compatible. I can't be funding this organization that stands for so many things that are, you know, that conflict with my religious faith. And so there's this whole area of law where one of the options in non-right to work states is usually, instead of the amount that you would normally have to pay to a union, you can actually divert that instead to a charity, one that you agree to. Often the union will have to agree to it as well. But at the very least, you know your money is not funding an organization that you object to for religious reasons. And so that's something people should look at. They can go to the National Right to Work Foundation website, righttowork.org or nrtw.org, same site. And you can read about that and your rights and request for your legal aid, because it can be a complicated process, but it is a protection that people have.
Ladies and gentlemen, learning how it all works and getting involved in meaningful ways to protect your God-given rights, especially the right to work, is critical. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org. Thank you. We'll have you back soon, brother. Great work. God bless you. All right, there he goes. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell lashed out at corporate America on Monday, warning CEOs to stay out of the debate over the new voting law in Georgia. Georgia employers Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines have spoken out against a law signed by Governor Brian Kemp, and Major League Baseball pulled the 2021 All-Star Game out of the state over the law strengthening identification requirements for absentee ballots in future elections. The Senate parliamentarian ruled on Monday that Democrats may use a procedural tool known as reconciliation to pass the $2 trillion infrastructure bill with zero Republican support. This now removes the potential Republican filibuster. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced Tuesday New Zealand will open a quarantine-free travel bubble with Australia starting April 18th. New Zealand tourism industry and the New Zealand Chamber of Commerce say the plan could serve as a model for other countries to reopen safely. USA Radio News.
Woke culture. It's choking America, erasing our history, threatening our freedoms, our laws, and even our police. Now, Grant Stinchfield exposes the secret woke agenda and the hidden players behind this very dangerous movement. Watch Stinchfield tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax TV as he reveals the real dangers to you and your family. Everyone is talking about Stinchfield because each night he gives you the cold, hard truth you need to know. Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel on all major systems. If you don't get it, call your cable operator. Tell them you want Newsmax or you'll switch. Remember, you can get Newsmax free on Roku, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, and smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, Vizio, or LG. It's even free on your smartphone. Just download the free Newsmax app and start watching. So find out about woke and its dangerous plans for America on Grant Stinchfield tonight. Just tune into Newsmax TV. It's real news for real people.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has changed the Russian constitution that would enable him to stay in power another 15 years. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Vladimir Putin has signed a law changing the Russian constitution that would allow him to possibly stay in power until 2036. The law allows him to stand for election for another two terms after his current term expires in 2024. The legislation formalizes changes made in a referendum last year, a vote that opposition leaders say was tarnished by widespread irregularities. Putin is currently in his fourth six-year term, having been in power for more than 17 years, longer than any Russian leader since Joseph Stalin.
The Constitution of the Russian Federation went into effect on Christmas Day, 1993. Democrat Senator Joe Manchin warned Monday that the Biden administration's massive infrastructure package can't pass in its current form because he and a handful of other Senate Democrats believe the corporate tax hikes proposed in the bill are just too expensive. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. That was Patrick Simmons last half hour doing a phenomenal job. National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Find out if you live in a right to work state. 27 states protect worker freedom right now. Righttowork.org to learn more about that. But you know what? Is forced unionism about to become the law of the land? Will big labor kill all 27 right-to-work state laws? Big labor's crown jewel legislation has just passed the House. It's the PRO Act, H.R. 824. It's not PRO, in my opinion. It's really the PRO Union Boss Act, ladies and gentlemen, and they're threatening to close the deal. Yeah, it's big labor's worst ideas over the past 50 years, and Joe, whacked out Grandpa Joe, has threatened to sign that sucker. If the PRO Act passes, all right-to-work laws will be gone in the blink of an eye, ladies and gentlemen. Card check government imposed or forced unionism will become the law of the land from sea to shining sea. Wow. Workers will be banned from hearing anything but union propaganda. Violence will get crazy if anybody opposes them. They will be on their roll and plan for tyranny. You got to support the Freedom from Union Violence Act as well. You got to stand for your right to work, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a religious objection right now to be affiliated with a union, you don't have a whole lot of anything you can do about it, sad to say. You can go and work with certain states and defund or put your money to a charity. You can't not spend the money, though. That's the interesting whacked out manipulation of the law they got going on here. If I say, no, I'd rather keep my money myself, thank you. No, no, no. You'll be forced to designate it to go elsewhere. You still are fleeced from your money. They still rape your wallet, right? I know that's a term that a lot of people don't like to hear. Man, Sam, that's just overly hostile. I don't like it when you say that. And my response is, what is it when you force me to pay? When you force me to pay, and then you literally have, by government mandate, the ability to commit violence against me if I don't. And then I say, oh, they're raping my wallet. How is it not that? Take government school in the government, for example. Hey, they're stealing from everybody, all taxpayers, to fund government school. How do you say that's not a rape of your wallet? Oh, well, Sam, because they're doing it gently and softly. Well, the rapist is kind of sweet and kind, I guess, right? See, that's the lie. No, they're not kind. They're stealing your money, and they're funding communist-style propaganda, the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, with your money. That's hostile. That's force. That's tyranny. That's abuse. That's not kind and gentle. See, that's the problem. And that's why I have such a bold stance, because I call a spade a spade. All right, let's do the recap of yesterday's show. I wanted to get to Patrick Simmons first because he's so explosive, so valuable in his information and his delivery that we just got to discuss it. Yesterday, we had our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on your radio. RonPaulInstitute.org. Lowell always does just a phenomenal job. And we talked about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints held its 191st semi-annual general conference last weekend. It was 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, literally 5 conference sessions, 2 hours per session, amounting to 10 hours of admonition and testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We talked about Neil Anderson, one of the speakers who told about a 16-year-old unwed mother who gave her daughter up for adoption. This address was strong against the evils of abortion. We talked about a guy by the name of Jeffrey R. Holland who described an economy of goodness and observed that the biggest deficit is the paucity of love, hope, and charity. Can we have a virtuous government without a virtuous people? The answer is clearly a resounding no. Dallin H. Oaks, well-known former attorney and leader of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or one of the leaders, spoke boldly about the Constitution. He said the Constitution provides structure and limits. It was established by God for the rights and protections of all flesh. Why, you may ask? Because the moral agency of man is sacred. That's right. And for man to be accountable for his own sins, he must have his own agency or his own freedom to choose. That's critical. In fact, Dallin Oaks highlighted 5 principles of the Constitution that I believe are really critical. 1, sovereignty lies with people. 2, authority is divided between the states and the general government. Even in Richard Mack's Supreme Court case decision, Antonin Scalia, the justice writing the majority opinion, said there are dual sovereigns, highlighting the separation there. The third one is authority is separated among the 3 branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial. So you got vertical and horizontal checks and balances there, ladies and gentlemen. Each can check power of the others, right? 4, the Bill of Rights is really a list of prohibitions saying specifically what the general government may not do. You heard me, may not do. 5, it established the rule of law, not the rule of man So really, we're talking about establishing God's laws. Laws that are simple and easy to understand so that people can govern themselves. Based on correct principle, people learn to govern themselves. All right, there you have it. The World Health Organization pushes what they call a pandemic treaty. A national pandemic treaty would be a stepping stone to world government. Yeah, they're calling for the world to unite behind an international pandemic treaty. It is disaster because it promotes the international government. Reject it, ladies and gentlemen. Reject it, would you please? All right, that rounded out first hour, available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. The second hour, Charles Barkley, well-known former NBA star, says politicians divide black, white, and rich, poor America. Amen. He goes on, in my opinion, and does a stellar job, and he says, listen, I believe most black people, and I believe most white people are good and are not racist and don't hate each other. There is not a divide. We're great people. But you know what? The politicians, the media, the leaders, they divide us all under every fault line. It's got to stop, says Charles Barkley. And I couldn't agree with him more. I think he's spot on right. Okay? I think he's just right as could be. And I wish we had more people understanding that and pushing back politely, saying, look, we're not racist. We don't hate each other. Male, female, black, white, Republican, Democrat, we're not all enemies. It's just not true. We can stand together shoulder to shoulder despite our disagreements on some things or our varying opinions on a variety of things or our diversity or whatever word you want to use. But we can still be kind and friends and support one another as neighbors. And we can agree to disagree. And we can, you know what, let people live and think and believe and as they want to. Imagine that idea. Imagine if we could really heal our land and work together. All right, there's a new report from the U.S. Census Bureau, and it found that the rate of homeschooling doubled from the start of the COVID-19 pandemic to the beginning of this school year. The survey found that in the spring of 2020, only about 5.4% of U.S. households homeschooled. But you know what? Now it's 11%. Believe it or not, before the pandemic, it was only 3%. So literally, before the pandemic started, it was about 3% in America. Now it's literally four times that. And it's great news. Now, let's be very clear, though. Dr. Scott Bradley with me provided a wise warning indeed. And the warning he gave is, hey, just because you're taking your kids home due to the pandemic, if you're still letting the government schools be the teacher, be the guide, be the facilitator, whatever you want to say, if you're using their curriculum and they're, be very, very, very cautious and aware because they're still peddling propaganda. They're still promoting, for the most part, things that Christians disagree with. So you know what? It's good that people are home. I acknowledge that as a first step, and you got to start somewhere. But I also acknowledge Dr. Scott Bradley's wise warning that, hey, just because they're homeschooling, don't breathe a sigh of relief thinking it's all good because it may not be. Find out who your teachers are. Find out what they're teaching. Get a grip. Get a handle. Do it now. We talked also about three dangers that threaten us from within. We'll talk about that in seconds on your radio.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because... In a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, Sam Bushman, final segment this hour. Back with you live. This half hour is brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt Crosby. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or you can call or text anytime, 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. If you like the website approach, localhoneyman.com gets that done. That's localhoneyman.com. We talked about the importance of moral education. And my phrase is, look alive, people, relating to Dr. Scott Bradley's warning that, hey, be careful. You know what? Homeschooling is quadrupled in America, which is wonderful news. But you better make sure what your kids are learning and who is teaching them. I'll tell you that right now. And Dr. Scott Bradley warned Ezra Taft Benson, former Secretary of Agriculture in the Eisenhower administration, spoke out about three dangers that threaten what he called his church from within at the time. But I think it threatens the nation from within. It threatens schooling and education from within. The three dangers that threaten us from within: flattery of prominent men in the world. When you look to man, the arm of flesh, rather than God, you're in trouble, folks. Number two, false educational ideas, like this idea that you don't have a right to work, like this idea that unions must be compulsory, like this idea that, you know what, you got to embrace the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. It flies in the face. It's 180 degrees from the freedom-loving Constitution in America, ladies and gentlemen. And the third one, sexual impurity, okay? They want to promote all sex except for the God-ordained kind, which is between one man and one woman, legally and lawfully married, okay? All sex they want to promote except for the God-ordained kind. And we need to stand with the moral compass and say, you know what? Sex is a wonderful, blessed thing, but only to be used within God's law. God sets the limits. God sets the circumstances and parameters to which the procreative power can be engaged in. And it's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing when used properly and it's in the proper context. It's usually compared to a fire in the fireplace. When a fire is controlled and in its proper space and time and circumstance, it's a blessing. Provides warmth, likes to cook your food. And there's so many benefits from a fire. But when the fire gets out of the fireplace, it just burns out of control and destroys everything in its path. Same thing is true with the sexual procreative power. You know, you get abortions and babies out of wedlock and mistrust and confusion and abuse to women. And I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. But when the procreative power that God gave us, the sexual relationship, is used within the proper sphere, then it is a blessing indeed. So the three dangers that threaten us from within on a nation point of view: flattery of prominent men in the world, false educational ideas, and sexual impurity. Okay, beware of those things, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a recap, by the way, of the broadcast that took place yesterday on the broadcast. We're going to have Ammon Bundy coming up here soon, next hour. And I guess he got arrested again in Idaho. And we have the details of how and why and what the battle points are now. We're going to hear it directly from Ammon himself. I don't like to just read the news and figure it out, especially when we know him. We just call up and say, Ammon, what's your side of the story, buddy? And we let him tell it. That's how we roll. But for the rest of this hour, headline is pretty cool, says this. Spurred by lockdown, Spain gives four-day week a try. Yeah, kind of a cool story here. Story is by Iris Para, or Iritz Para, I guess it is. Anyway, experimenting with cutting back one work day per week is about to go nationwide in Spain, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? They say a three-year pilot project will be using 50 million euros, that's about $59 million from the European Union, or I guess from the massive coronavirus fund, to compensate companies as they resize their workforce and or move to a 32-hour work week. They want to adapt to a 32-hour working week. They say Madrid Associated Press brings this up, and I just find it a fascinating story. After years of waiting tables, Danny DeVise, or Denier DeVise, I guess is how you say her name, is one step closer to achieving her lifetime dream of becoming a theater coach. Ironically, she owes that to the pandemic. It was after last year's brutal lockdown that shut everything down. I guess the Spanish economy was down for weeks, and it gave her the ability to kind of look around and say, man, what can I do? Already struggling to make ends meet in the city that has seen rent prices spiral. The 28-year-old was hesitant at first, but then you know what? She was enthusiastic when she was told, yeah, you go back to 32 hours, we won't decrease your wages. Now I have time to work, to see my family and friends, and to find enough time to study, she said. It's marvelous to have time to not rush everywhere and have a little bit of peace. A happier and more motivated, I guess everybody's happy when they proposed what they call four-day week rotational shifts, which is kind of interesting. Four-day work shifts. They also talked about this lady who's a mother of two toddlers. And her startup partner, I guess they had both struggled to keep the business going because of the COVID, right? But there was a feeling of, well, happier people, more motivated people. They say, believe it or not, it's better for everybody this four-day work week. Happier, more motivated people and all that kind of stuff. What do you think of that, folks? You like it? Now, I find this interesting, this whole idea. They say there was a feeling that society had turned its back on family, that we had been betrayed. But this gives us solutions for our employees, our businesses, our families, our lives. Experimenting with cutting back one work day per week is about to go nationwide in Spain. The first country in Europe to do so. Isn't that interesting? They say the funds will go to subsidizing all the employers' extra costs of the first year of the trial. And then it will reduce the government involvement from 50% to 25%, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The only condition is that the readjustment leads to a real net reduction in hours while maintaining full-time contract salaries, this leader from their General Assembly explains. It's not using the European funds for Spaniards to work less. It's about seeing how we can improve productivity and competitiveness of our companies. Arguments in favor of the move also cite benefits for the overall economy. Listen, here's what they say. They say a mass shift to a three-day weekend would increase consumption, especially in entertainment and tourism, which is the backbone of the Spanish economy in Spain, they say. Reducing work hours from 40 to 35 per week in 2017 resulted in a 1.5% GDP growth. And they say a ton of new jobs. Anyway, it benefited women who often take more part-time jobs. And they talked about this software company in Spain that did this. And they say it really reduces absenteeism as well because people have time to go to the bank or go to the doctor. And they usually choose their day off to get it done. Now, critics say that a pandemic-shaken economy is not the environment for experiments. Now, Spain has suffered from intermittent lockdowns and et cetera, et cetera. They also warn about a one-size-fits-all scenario. It's best to try first and then scale it up, not do it all at once. Okay? Some have a lukewarm response to the project. Nevertheless, at least a half a dozen companies have already reached out expressing interest, saying this is a great idea. In Spain, we have moved from, quote, presenteeism, where people had to be at the office for a very long time, to a scenario where we are working even more. Now, I'm not a fan at all of government, backed work or funded work or whatever you want to say. I'm not a fan of that at all. I believe it should be left to the private sector. No doubt about it. However, I'm going to say this. I do believe four-day work weeks are better. I do believe that you either need to have a shorter work week so you have days off, or you need to have shorter days. For example, I'm not even opposed to working 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day, 6 days a week. Right? A 5 hour a day, 6 days a week would be 30 hours of work, but yet spread out. So it doesn't matter if you get a lot of days off or if you have a shorter work time, but there's got to be more time for family. There's got to be more time for being able to do the things that are needed, go to the doctor and take care of personal responsibilities. And okay, when you work, say, you know, the traditional schedule of 9 to 5 or 8 to 6, because you got to have a mandated government lunch break or whatever else, you know, it can be very taxing on people and they don't have a chance to take care of their lives. And especially when husbands and wives both work, it's extremely difficult, especially difficult for them because nobody's home to take care of those things. And so this shift in my mind, I'm not really for a government-backed or funded shift here, but I do think that the four-day works week bears significant fruit. I do think that this idea to say, hey, we're experimenting with cutting back one day a week, work week, it's about to go nationwide in Spain, I think that's pretty cool. A mass shift to a three-day weekend will lead to more consumption in entertainment and tourism. I'm not really a fan of the entertainment and tourism necessarily either. But we live in a different society, folks. We live in a seriously different society. It used to be that people were farmers or worked for themselves and they were self-employed. And if they had to go to the dentist or the doctor or do something, they just did. But now that you have both people working for other employers, you've got to give people time to be a family, to live their lives, and to take care of their personal needs. And if you don't, people just experience burnout, especially when they're working at home now and there's no real clock. You're just kind of on the clock 24/7. We've got to be really careful not to tap people out, burn people out. We need to scale back. I don't believe by force by government, but I do believe it's a great idea by choice. People need to schedule their lives to have work-life balance. Anyway, pretty cool segment. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Ammon Bundy next. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, donate liberally. We declare this nation shall endure.